Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Psalms and Psalm 105. Psalm 105, verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. And our focus will be on the first part of that verse, seek the Lord and his strength. And the question, the title of this message this morning is, how strong is the Lord? How strong is the Lord? How strong is God? That is our focus this morning. And these are wonderful words in Psalm 105. I'm mindful, by the way, that we as a church have been focusing a lot on the Psalms in recent weeks. A number of you, of course, will know that we are studying the Psalms, selected Psalms, on Wednesdays at our Bible study, and that has been a great blessing to us. And then last week at the baptism, which was a tremendous blessing for this church, I preached a verse from Psalm 144. You may recall, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And now this morning I'm taking another verse from the Psalms, Psalm 105, and these words, seek the Lord and his strength. The Psalms are so wonderful. There is so much of the gospel in the Psalms. And so bear with me as I take another message from this wonderful treasury, the treasury of David, as it is sometimes called, the Psalms. Now, just to give a little bit of the background of this psalm, a little bit of the context. Now, we know exactly when this psalm was written or for what occasion it was written. It is, of course, a psalm of great rejoicing and praise and joy, because it accompanies a very joyous occasion when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Jerusalem. And you can read that in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Indeed, most of this psalm is also in that chapter in 1 Chronicles. It's a psalm of David. David was there. He had brought the ark into Jerusalem, into the city of David, the ark which, of course, had been a great symbol of God's presence in the nation, a great symbol of his favor toward the Israelites. And it was now to take its rightful place in Jerusalem. So this is a psalm celebrating that occasion. And you can see the celebration even right from the very start. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, verse 1. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Well, this is how Israel worshipped their God. This is a great example for us, of course. When we see how the Israelites worshipped, this is a pattern for us. First of all, they gave thanks. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. When we come into this place, we give thanks. Thanks to the Lord for all that he has done for us. Even if you're not a believer here this morning, you can still give thanks. Thanks that God has kept you through another week, given you health and given you strength. Thanks to the Lord for bringing you here to have the honor of worshiping him, to hear his word, the joy of hearing his word. And we sing to the Lord. That's what the Israelites did. They gave thanks, but they also sang, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Of course, they sang the psalms. The psalms were for singing. But we, of course, in the New Testament age, we have to add the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to our worship. We name his name because now we know his name. We know the name of our salvation. We know the name of the one who has saved us. So we don't just sing psalms in this church at any rate. We sing at him speaking of Christ. And so, they gave thanks, they sang. And what did they talk of? Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Well, they declared, they communicated the wonderful things that God had done for them. And this too is what we rehearse, what we speak of, or what I speak of, what I declare. God has done a wonderful thing for all of us, each and every one of us. He calls us to know the wonderful things that he has done. And we praise God for that, and we speak of those wonderful things. God had done wonderful things for Israel, of course. We know this. He had delivered them. He had set them free from slavery. In verse 26, we read of how he had sent Moses to deliver them from Egypt. He had sent all the plagues. They are recorded towards the end of this psalm. He had guided them when they were in the wilderness. We read even in verse 39, he spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. That was the pillar of cloud in the day and the fire by night to guide the Israelites. He fed them in verse 40, quails, the bread of heaven, the manna. He gave them water, verse 41. He opened the rock and the waters gushed out. So the Lord did everything for them. And verse 43, he brought forth his people with joy. Well, this is what it is to know the Lord, isn't it? Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. When we seek the Lord, we seek great joy for ourselves. We find much joy, authentic joy. And it's a wonderful psalm. Read it when you get time, because you find so much joy in it. But our subject this morning is, when you seek the Lord, not only do you find joy, you also find strength. And this is our focus this morning, the strength of the Lord. How strong is God? And my first heading, how strong is the Lord? Well, we focus on the strength of his rule. The strength of his rule. Now, when we ask this question, how strong is God? Well, many of you will say, well, this is a very silly question, Pastor. We all know this. Even a child knows this, that God's strength is, of course, very great. There is nobody stronger than God. God's strength, and we read this in the Bible, cannot be measured. Some people's strength you can measure. If you go to the gym, you put your weight on, you will measure the weight. And that determines how strong you are, depending how much weight you can pull. It's a measured strength. But God's strength cannot be measured. You can't measure it. It's too great. It's from everlasting to everlasting. The Lord, we read in his word, is almighty in power. He can do all things. We see even, well, just a glimpse really of his power throughout the scriptures, even at the very beginning. When the Lord, our Creator God, created all things, he spoke and everything was done. He said, let there be light, and there was light. This is a measure of his strength. This is a measure of his power. Our almighty Creator God. God has created all things and God rules over all things. Again, this is a great feature of his strength. God rules. When somebody rules, when somebody governs, do we not say that they are in a powerful position? They are in a position of strength if they govern. But the Lord God, well, he is in the greatest position of all. He is in that true position of strength and power because he is ruling over all things. Everything, everything that comes to pass is under his control. This is how strong God is. This is how powerful God is. Everything that happens in this world is under his control. He is sovereign. He is strong in that way. And we, by comparison, of course, we as mere men and women, we are very weak. We are not in charge of all things. We do not control everything that comes to pass. There are so many things that are beyond the control of man. So many things, even the greatest of us, even those who are in power. You think of the kings of the world and the leaders, the prime ministers, the presidents. They're not in charge of absolutely everything. Even they are powerless to stop certain things, powerless to stop calamities from happening, powerless to stop sickness spreading when we had the COVID pandemic. All the leaders of the world, they were powerless to stop it. There are so many things outside of our control. We as men, our powers are weak. And that's the way it is for all of us. So many of us, and unbelievers in particular, they like to think they are in charge of their lives. I'm the one who governs my life. I'm the one who's in charge of my life. Dear friends, we are so often helpless in the face of life, in the face of all the trials of life. So many things happen to us. We have no control over it. We are weak. But God is strong in this respect. So that's the first contrast we can make. How strong is God? Well, he is strong because he is ruling over all things, but we are not. We are so weak. This is why we need the Lord. This is one of the reasons why we say to people, you must call upon the Lord. You must seek the Lord and his strength because we need him to protect us, to provide for us. We don't look to men. They are not in charge. We look to the Lord. He is ruling over everything, truly and most certainly, and we seek him and we pray to him, the God of almighty power. So this is, well, it's the greatest thing we have to understand about God. He is sovereign, and this is the measure of his strength. It's a great feature of his strength. So seek his strength, dear friends, and seek him to rule over you. But secondly, my second heading, we see the Lord's strength in his holiness, in his holiness. Now, when we think of God as New Testament believers, we acknowledge, of course, that God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we marvel, of course, that the Son of God came down from heaven to earth and took upon himself a body. In a sense, the Almighty God, the Son of God, he made himself weak. The Almighty, the everlasting God of infinite power, he came down to this world and took on frail flesh. So he has everlasting strength, but what did he do? He came down and he, as it were, made himself weak, an infant babe, a baby even, one who is so weak, one who is so small, even by human measure. And he was a weak and helpless babe in the manger. And this is, well, it's a marvel to think of it. And he was only an ordinary person, an ordinary human being. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity, we know that he was fully God. Yes, he was divine, but he was fully man. He was an ordinary man. He did not have superhuman strength. He wasn't like a superhero that you see in the films, in the movies. Yes, he was fully God, but he was fully man. He was ordinary, just like us. He had the same strength as us. We read in the scriptures that he could get tired. We read that he could get thirsty, just like us, weary. He had to sleep, just like us. He knew all the infirmities of the flesh. So this is my point to what I'm trying to say. He is the Almighty God, and yet he came down, and he was just like us, weak, just like us. But here's the difference. There is, of course, a great difference. Christ was without sin. He was without sin. That's where his strength was seen. Never an unkind word, never an immoral deed, never an unclean thought, not one single lie. He was pure. He had a pure heart. That was his strength. His heart never once defiled with sin. We are not like this, of course. We are so weak when it comes to sin. We have such a weak record in our histories, in our lives. We've all lied at least once. We've all stolen. at least once coveted, hated, lusted. We are so weak. We're so easily tempted, aren't we? There was one writer, I can't remember who it was now, one writer who described the human condition very accurately. He said, "I can resist anything except temptation." And that is just like all of us. We think we're so strong, and yet when we are tempted, we will fall. There are so many things in our lives, things that we cannot resist, things that have a power over us, and we can't resist them. And this is the reality concerning man. We are so weak, we're so easily led astray, aren't we? Led astray by even those around us. Our friends may ask us to do something or tell us to say something or even believe something that we know is not right, but we still go along with it. We can't even stand up to our friends. Peer pressure. When the world tells us to do something, we go along with it. We're too weak to make a stand. Dear friends, this is the reality of us. But Christ was not like this. You see how strong he was? His strength was seen in his holiness. He could resist temptation. We read earlier, Matthew chapter 4, when Satan tempted the Lord Jesus Christ, remember how Christ resisted. Satan tempted him, turn these stones into bread, feast yourself, you're hungry. The Lord resisted. Satan said to the Lord Jesus, cast yourself down from the temple. Because he said, oh, well, God would send his angels to save you. The Lord Jesus resisted. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then remember, he took him up. Satan took the Lord up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and said, I will give you all of this if you will bow down and worship me. He resisted. You see how strong he was? We would have fallen to all of these things. We are so weak. But Christ, he resists. We need his strength, dear friends. I say this very often. When somebody comes to Christ, they suddenly find the strength to break free from all the things that they are enslaved to, all the sins. There are sins in each and every one of our lives. We cannot resist them. Only when you come to Christ, you can resist them. Only then can you break the chains, as it were. It's like you're in a prison cell. You're strong except when you're tempted. It's only Christ that can help you break those chains. You are weak. You need his strength. Otherwise, you will always be weak. You'll always be ensnared. Your sins will actually have a tighter grip on you. You'll be more enslaved if you don't come to the Lord. You need the strength of Christ. Seek the Lord and his strength, all these things. This is what is mentioned here. And so I hope this is making sense to you and getting through to you. Thirdly, let me just move on to something slightly different. When we come to the Lord, we have a strong message. We have a strong message, the gospel message. Again, this is so different to the things of this world. When do you ever hear strong messages anymore in this world? Or let me put it to you another way. When have you ever heard recently a message that has given you strength? Everything you hear in this world nowadays, it just seems to make us more weak. It seems to make us more despondent, lead us nearer to despair. It demoralizes us. You hear all the things in this world, it doesn't give you strength or impart strength, it demoralizes you. But we have a message that imparts strength, that gives you strength. And this is the same message that the Lord Jesus Christ preached. And when he spoke it, remember how he, everyone was so moved, how everybody responded. They said, when this man speaks, well, it's so different to the scribes and Pharisees. He speaks with authority. In other words, he speaks with great strength. There is so much strength in this message. It is so true, of course, It's perfectly true. I mentioned this at the baptism last week. Everything about the Lord is true. And when we hear it, we know it's true. Of course we do. We all have consciences. And the conscience doesn't just tell you what is right and wrong. The conscience tells you what is true and what is false. And so again, I've mentioned this often. You can hear a message, perhaps a religious message from any other religion, and your conscience will not be moved. Your conscience will not be troubled. Maybe on Hinduism or Sikhism or Buddhism, you can very gladly hear a message on that. Your conscience will not be troubled once. But when you hear the word of God, the Christian gospel, then the conscience is troubled, because we know it's true. The conscience that God has given you knows that this is true. Out of all the religions, out of all the ideas, out of all the philosophies of this world, it's this one that is true. And that was the effect the Lord Jesus Christ had. All of these scribes, all these Pharisees speaking religious things. But when Christ speaks, this is different. This is with authority. This is true. This is the same message we have, dear friends. We have a strong message. All the other messages, they're so weak. But this is a strong message. All other words will pass away, but these words will not pass away, says the Lord. And this message is strong, well, because it speaks of eternal things. All the other things, all the other messages that you hear are weak, they are limited, because they only relate to this life. How to get on in this life, even the other religions. So often it's how to be happy in this life. But this message is stronger than that. It speaks about eternity. It speaks about where you will spend eternity. Dear friends, this is too important to reject. It speaks about life after death. Do you think about that? Now, dear friends, when we think about strength, this is the question we have to ask. It's a rhetorical question. Is there anyone strong enough here to overcome death? Are you strong enough for that? Of course not. I don't even need to ask that question. Some people will say, won't they, why do I need the Lord? I often hear this. God is good for you, but not for me. Why do I need Christ? You might need Christ. I don't need Christ. But dear friends, we're all going to die. If I met somebody who was never going to die, then perhaps I would say, yes, you don't need Christ. But we all die. So we all need Christ. You're not strong enough to overcome death. You are weak. You are a mortal human being. You need Christ, therefore. And so this is the question we are faced with. We will all come to the end of our lives, no matter how strong you are, no matter you may be in a peak physical condition, very fit, very strong, but you will still die. You are not strong enough to overcome death, or to overcome what happens after death. What happens after death? Well, we meet the Lord. One day we will stand before him. We have to give an account of our lives, how we have lived our lives. You have to stand before a holy God who sees all of your sins and who must judge sin. Are you strong enough to stand the judgment? Are you strong enough to bear the weight of your sin? God must punish sin. Are you strong enough to bear the punishment for your sin? It's an eternal punishment, by the way. We know this. An eternal punishment, a crushing weight upon you, eternal regret, eternal sorrow. Are you strong enough for that? Dear friends, you are not. You are not strong enough. The only one who is strong enough to bear the weight of your sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what he has done for us. This is what the message of the gospel is. Seek the Lord and his strength, because he is the only one who can bear away your sin. This is the gospel message. We have all sinned But all of our sins, all the sins of those who believe in the Lord, they were placed upon him. And he took upon himself the weight of it all, the punishment of it all. It's as though he takes our sins away from us. He carries them away and he deals with them. He pays the price. He was crushed. He was forsaken of God. But he is the only one strong enough to bear our sin away. This is what we believe. This is what we need the Lord for, to bear the punishment for our sins. Dear friends, this is the choice before us. You can either live without Christ and bear the punishment for your sin yourself, which you cannot bear, or you can trust in Christ and know that when I stand before God, Christ has taken the punishment for me. He has taken the condemnation. So now I can stand in the judgment with boldness and with confidence. Dear friends, I can't finish without mentioning why the Lord went to the cross. Again, this shows his strength. It was the strength of his love. It was the strength of his love. Love that led him to the cross. Dear friends, the love of God, of course, is stronger than the love of man. Particularly in the modern age, you know, when people speak about love in the modern time, where we're all happy to love one another when things are going well and when everything is going smoothly. But when things are difficult, when things are hard, then we don't want to be in that kind of relationship. Then suddenly, oh, I've fallen out of love with him, or I've fallen out of love with her because it's hard, because it's difficult. We have a very weak view of what love is. But the Lord Jesus Christ, his love is stronger than ours. And he bears the most difficult thing. He bears the weight of our sins. And he still loves us. He doesn't forsake us when things get hard. This is the strength of his love. And we see it on the cross of Calvary. He knows all the things that we have done, even sins against him, even sins against God. And yet he loves us still. Dear friends, we can never love him as he loves us. We are weak, but we can seek the Lord and his strength. And know that strength forever. Dear friends, these are the points that I have brought to you. I hope I have made these points so clear. There's so much I could have said. Christ, he rose again. He conquered death. That was a measure of his strength. He sits right now. He ascended up on high. He's at the right hand of God, that position of almighty power. He will return one day in power and strength and glory upon the clouds of heaven with the holy angels. Dear friends, I just ask this question. Are you a Christian? Are you somebody who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you the one who has repented and put their faith in Christ? Or are you too scared? Or are you too proud? Perhaps, you know, of course, sometimes, the majority of the time, it's the pride that stops us, because coming to Christ can often be seen as a weak thing. Christianity is for weak people. That's what the world says. If you go to Christ, if you become a Christian, you're weak. All your friends will say you're weak. And you, of course, are too weak to bear up to the criticism. You want to be in with your friends. You're too weak to make a stand for yourself, so you won't become a Christian. Everyone is weak. But dear friends, it's the opposite. When you come to the Lord, then you have strength. Come as a weak person. Say to the Lord, yes, I am weak. Yes, I cannot resist temptation. I've sinned a million times, and I never find the strength. I'm weak. I'm a mortal human being. I will die one day. I need the Lord. I need forgiveness for my sins. I need everlasting life. Just come in your weakness and Christ will make you strong. Then you won't have to do what your friends say all the time. You will do the will of God. Then you won't have to fear the day of judgment because you know that Christ has died for you. You'll be strong for the first time in your life. You know, there's that verse, isn't there, in the New Testament. When I am weak, then am I strong. Dear friends, just humble yourself before the Lord. Confess your sin and your weakness. And then for the first time, you will be strong. You will know the strength of the Lord in you. Not your own strength, the strength of the Almighty God. And you will be blessed forever. Dear friends, this is the meaning of these words. Seek the Lord and his strength. The Lord is waiting to hear your prayer, to lend you his strength so that you may stand in the power of his might. Seek the Lord and his strength, dear friends. May the Lord bless each one of you.